You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Recently, findings from the study into student achievement in maths and science, TIMSS, otherwise referred to as the Trends in International Maths and Science Study, were released. New Zealand's findings show that the achievement gap regarding maths results has relatively stayed the same since 2018, although the overall gap has increased since 2002. This comes as the government has pushed heavily to increase math statistics in the country over concerns New Zealand's math statistics are not on par with other countries overseas. I spoke to Senior Lecturer in the Faculty of Education and Social Work at the University of Auckland, Dr. Lisa Durra, about New Zealand statistics in the TIMSS and whether the government is rightfully concerned about where our math statistics are. We also discussed Durra's thoughts on ability grouping in primary school maths and how this practice can impact the achievement gap with high and low achieving students. New Zealand's results in the Trends in International Maths and Science Study, otherwise referred to as TIMSS, has increased for the first time in a decade. Could you briefly explain what these results show and what the significance of the TIMSS is?
Well, what the TIMSS results show in maths is no change, really, since 2018 in maths achievement. There's a little bit of an improvement shown in science, in Year 5 science, but the significance, I think, of these results, particularly in the area of maths, show that there isn't actually a crisis in maths education, which is disrupting the government narrative that we've been hearing so much lately, that this is this huge crisis that we have to fix immediately in mathematics. So instead, we're seeing kind of same old in maths. So that's not to say there isn't improvement that needs to be done. I mean, we're not achieving in the top half of the world, and so there is certainly work that can be done in the area of maths in our schools, but I would say it's not a crisis.
As you've mentioned, since the government has taken power, they have campaigned heavily on improving our country's math statistics, including developing the Make It Count Maths Action Plan. You say this isn't as much of a concern, but is there any sort of concern around this?
I mean, we definitely want our students to be achieving more in maths. I think there's no doubt about that. But I think we don't need to be forcing teachers into huge change without the kind of support that goes along with that. I think it's been really difficult for teachers having, you know, a curriculum change thrust upon them a whole year earlier than planned and coinciding with the change that they're also having to make in literacy education. It puts a lot of pressure on teachers, and I don't think that leads to good teaching and good implementation of that change, because it's sort of so forced and so rushed.
In your press release, you discuss ability grouping of students in primary schools. For those who are unfamiliar, what is ability grouping?
So ability grouping, as it's seen in primary school, is often within the classroom. So you have sort of teachers, based on some kind of testing, they put children into a top, a middle, and a bottom group, and then they're teaching to the level that the child is at. And a recent survey shows that around about 70% of our primary schools are doing this kind of ability grouping. And the problem with it is it means that we have some students, particularly the ones in the bottom group, maybe the bottom two groups, are not being taught the level of their year level. So they never get the opportunity to learn the more sophisticated math concepts that they need. So, you know, when you see testing for Year 5 students, there will be some students sitting that test that just have never been exposed to material at that level. And so, they don't have that opportunity to achieve when they haven't been taught it.
What are the implications arising from the use of this practice?
What research, both international and national research, has shown that when you ability group students, the gap between their achievement just grows ever wider. So, I mean, even the term ability grouping is kind of a misnomer, because it seems to imply that, you know, some students don't have the ability to achieve, when really it's not based on ability per se. It's based on prior attainment, or sometimes it's based on kind of teacher, you know, implicit teacher biases even. And so what happens is students end up kind of fulfilling the prophecy. So they're put into a bottom group, they're not exposed to as much sophisticated mathematics, and then their progress is slowed. So that gap between the top and the bottom just grow ever, ever wider. And I think it makes it quite challenging for teachers at secondary level when they kind of inherit these students that have been ability grouped, and the range in their achievement is just enormous.
Would you say that ability grouping is a primary reason for the achievement gap in the first place?
You have to look at the whole of society when you see inequities in an educational system. I mean, when you have social inequality, this tends to be mirrored in education. So if you've got wide gaps between wealthy and poor people in society, then you get wide gaps in achievement, and you get sort of wide gaps in all aspects of the system. So I think you actually really need to look at the whole social system when understanding these sorts of results. Yet at the same time, it's useful to think about what we can do within education in order to make a bit of a difference. So one thing that I think that we could do to improve in New Zealand is to help educate teachers in ways of teaching that doesn't rely on this ability grouping and lowered expectations and lowered opportunities to learn for those students.
Despite Aotearoa's results in the TIMSS increasing, we are still behind countries such as England and Australia. You briefly just touched on this before, but what do you believe should be changed to improve our statistics to be on par with these countries?
Yeah, apart from helping support teachers to teach in different ways that reduce ability grouping, I think the other thing that we can look at is the support that we give teachers in the classroom. So one other thing that the TIMSS report showed really clearly is that classrooms are becoming more disruptive. And so I think it's quite amazing that teachers are able to maintain the status quo with achievement, considering that these classrooms are becoming more challenging for learning. But teachers have been crying out for more learning support. They need teacher aides in the classroom. They need that kind of support, and money could be very well spent in that area, and I think that would make a massive difference to achievement across the board, and including in subjects like maths.
That was Senior Lecturer in the Faculty of Education and Social Work at the University of Auckland, Dr. Lisa Dara, on New Zealand's math statistics in the TIMSS and the impact ability grouping in primary schools are having on the achievement gap between high and low achieving students.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.